Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Getaway Friday, May the 29th, 2026. 14 and a half minutes past the hour, joined in studio by Matt Morgan for one more hour this morning. Then he has to take leave, going away for a little vacation this weekend. But joining us this hour and for the rest of the morning through 1 o'clock, guest co-hosting this morning in Matt's absence, somebody who I shared the mic with here for a few years. We used to do shows like this together. Then he went off and ran for mayor. I don't know what happened to him after that. Glenn Koppel is with us. You cried a lot. Was that it? Oh, is your mic on, Glenn? Go ahead.
I don't know. Is my mic on?
I think he's on. Is he on? You hearing it okay? The headsets here are a little funny since you left.
Oh, well, that's because my ears have very thick wax in them.
You're quiet this morning, Glenn.
I have a very bad cough.
Well, I'm glad you brought it here.
Thank you. Especially for you guys.
Brought it for us. Well, Glenn, you turned 80 this week.
Shut up.
No. It's also reason for celebration. 80 years old. What do you know at 80? That you can tell us all.
You know, 80, I've thought about that an awful lot this last half decade, what's going on. And I am a much better human being than I used to be. And I am much more thoughtful than I used to be. I don't know that I know more. I just think about it more. I try to do good things more often.
Glenn, I got a question.
Sure.
What do you remember about Woodstock?
Were you at Woodstock?
I remember I didn't go.
He didn't go. Hey, but he was at the 1968 conventions in Chicago where they burned down the town.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
I was there. But I remember friends of mine did go to Woodstock, but I was pretty young then. I think I was probably around 14, 15.
Well, I mean, it happened like 60 years ago or something like that.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
By the way, I'm sorry I told you to shut up before we went to the break, but you wouldn't shut up. So I had to tell you to shut up because we were coming up off the break.
You know, he and I did shows for 3 or 4 years, and he never told me to shut up.
Oh, I just like to talk. Because, you know,
I was trying to make my point, and I kept seeing the clock tick down, and I thought, just shut up so I can get this in.
He's not very subtle.
No. Someday. No, we did shows just like this for years, Glenn.
Yeah.
We used to have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
Never had a script or a contrived subject, and we just went with what was going on.
Well, that's because you and I both thought we were brilliant.
Well, I thought one of us was brilliant. I'm not going to tell you who it was.
People listening, I'm not so sure they thought we were brilliant.
Oh, we had call-ins. Remember the one time we got chastised? I'm not going to say the person's name, but I do remember who it was. We got chastised for... God, what was... Okay, I believe this... I hope I got this right. Hopefully you remember this. There was somebody running for office, and the Democratic Party was accusing them... I don't even want to get into the subject, but accusing them of something that you and I felt was not necessary. And it had to do with their significant other. That this was not necessary. And we came down on the Democratic Party for using that tactic in an election, and one of the higher-ups in the Democratic Party, or a certain Democrat who's very Democratic, called in while we were doing the show and said, I can't believe that you guys are saying this and defending this behavior. And we said we weren't defending the behavior, but we don't think it had any need in the political world.
That's one of the things I have been thinking about recently. What in the world... do people's significant others have to do with people running for office? Now, obviously, my wife interjects things that she thinks are right or wrong, but I'm my own person. If you're your own person, you think on your own 2 feet. And I find that annoying that people would want to tell us what to do. But.
Well, and by the way, the phone lines are open, just like they have been last hours this morning and will be for the rest of the morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But just to put a button on the conversation Matt and I were having before we went to break, and I had the time to shut up, but it was all about, I believe that if you are giving orders, you probably don't think what you're doing is wrong, even if it is. But I believe the people carrying out the orders on a day-to-day basis know what they're doing is wrong, and they're doing it maybe for self-gain, maybe they're doing it out of fear, but they're doing it, they know it's wrong.
That's one of the reasons why the Military Code of Justice says you should not, and I will say this, even though they might want to put me in front of a firing squad, you should not obey illegal orders.
Right. Right. But I don't think the person giving those orders believes it's a wrong order.
I think there are people. Well, I disagree with you on that.
Yeah, I don't know.
People, I mean,
I think there are a lot of people that know that they're giving bad orders.
I don't know. And like, no, I don't know. You know how the whole orders of that would go. But you know, like. Like Vietnam, we had a lot of we did a lot of massacres and things in Vietnam, and I'm sure that there's no way you could order a massacre and be like, oh yes, this is the right way to go about things.
Oh no, I think Lyndon Johnson absolutely thought he was doing the right thing because he had sleepless nights about this. He was worried. He wanted to go back and work on his great society.
Yeah, and then he also started bombing Cambodia.
Yeah, because he thought
and
that
excursions into Cambodia.
Gotta let me in here. But it was because he felt that was the right. He wanted to get it over with. Well, he didn't want
to. In his defense, you know, when we started bombing and going into Cambodia, we, you know, because the Ho Chi Minh Trail runs through Cambodia, there were a lot of the weapons, like we found, you know, many times more weapon caches and things like that in Cambodia than we did in Vietnam. Because, you know,
they could hide them over there.
Well, yeah, because we're not allowed to go in. Because we weren't allowed to go into Cambodia. That would have been extending the war to Cambodia.
It's interesting. I'm listening to two people that weren't even alive.
Right. I mean, this doesn't make any sense at all.
You guys are pretty crazy.
What do you think, Glenn? I mean, you know, you were there, I guess.
Do you honestly believe
My Lai was not a good thing?
No. Oh, the My Lai massacre? Yeah. No, it was not. Go ahead, caller. Glenn doesn't have his headset on, so he's not going to hear you, but that's fine.
How you doing, Glenn?
He doesn't have them on yet. Hold on. They're coming.
I'm getting there.
By the time he gets them untangled, we'll be in break. Don't worry here. Hold on. You know, he's 80 now. It's going to take a little longer.
Yeah.
Shut up.
The hands don't work as fast as they used to.
Only if you could see what's going on here in the studio. Okay.
I got it.
There he goes. Go ahead.
Well, I said, how you doing, Glenn? Pretty good.
We just talked about you, as a matter of fact. Didn't we?
You did.
I said you had called in about a month ago.
When you were on, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, oh, that's cool. They still remember me.
Well, what I wanted to say was, you know, when you're in that moment, it's hard sometimes to say you're not going to obey an illegal order. You know, our military in Vietnam at sometimes, you know, the officer in charge made a decision to kill the whole group of people. It did happen, you know, we're not proud of it, but it's happened. But in that moment, what are you going to do? Say, nope, Sarge, I ain't doing it. Or no, Colonel, I ain't doing it, you know.
You want me to mow down this village of innocent people? No, I don't think I will do that.
But that did happen at times, you know.
Yeah. And I
honestly... What are you going to do? They're liable to shoot you if you say you ain't going to follow that order.
I've thought about this many times since recent things that happened. I'm not sure when I was in the Army if my sergeant had told me, we got to protect this village, and I knew that we were going to kill children. It would have been horrible, but I probably would have done it. I don't know. Just because I was ordered to.
There's people that probably, you know, went ahead and did it, and they hated it because the right officer that's making that illegal order could, you know, for the bullet in your head out there in the field, you know.
Yeah, could have, yeah. People don't remember that, you can be punished. You can get field punished.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the same, but, you know, stuff like that did happen.
Yeah, it did.
You know, I think it's easier said than done sometimes to...
I can honestly say
field,
I didn't know anybody that happened to, thank goodness. But I'm sure it did.
Have a guy out, I worked with a Web Plastics when I was there, and he said, you know, he's been through that, so.
Yeah.
And by the way, I believe the people who were involved in the My Lai massacre, where they shot women and babies that were unarmed, were interviewed after that, and I believe the interviewer, I believe it was Mike Wallace on 60 Minutes, who said, how do you shoot women and babies? And they said, just one of those things.
Well, you don't see them that way.
Right.
Yeah. You see them as an enemy, even though they're not.
Women and children.
Yeah.
The real enemies in this scenario here. Yeah.
No, but you're looking at, see, you look at it as you and, like, it's in this studio. This is in a jungle. This is your friends getting killed.
And their fathers are shooting at you.
Their fathers are shooting at you, and your life's on the line every day, and you're sleeping in
their
water.
Their fathers are shooting at you because you're shooting at them. I mean, it's a pretty simple, like, concept to understand. Yeah, I mean, I would assume if I was shooting at somebody could shoot back at me.
I think you'd last with a drill sergeant about 10 seconds.
Well, that's why I never joined the military.
No, he wouldn't last.
He wouldn't last that long.
He'd have to cut the mop off.
That's right. He'd be in solitary. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So, you know, it is what it is in that regard, and I hate that saying.
Last question about Vietnam. Were you drafted or did you, like, sign up?
I enlisted.
Why?
I didn't go to Vietnam.
Curiosity.
Well, I'll tell you exactly why, because I was a coward. And I know that sounds stupid.
It's backwards, yeah.
But I was a coward because I got the opportunity to join the United States Army Field Band, which was the national touring band of the Army, with two other friends of mine who we called ourselves the Overland Singers. And so I spent 3 years singing rather than doing anything else. However...
You were combat trained, though, right? Like, if they were to deploy you, you would just be like
everybody.
You're deployable, right?
Yeah, yeah. You all go through basic training. Don't have any choice in that. But when I first got to the field band after my basic training, they did tell us, you're going to Vietnam. So, but then the My Lai incident happened, I think it was, or something, and they decided, Bob Hope decided he wasn't going to go, so we didn't go.
You didn't go. Glenn, you ran for mayor this last time around, and there was just a discussion before we went to break. Next year, Mayor Collins is up for re-election. He certainly has had a rough term with the financial difficulties here in Marion. And
many of which he didn't do.
No, you can't lay it all on his doorstep.
Right.
But now they've rented out the would-be fire station to the Goodwill for a six-month term, possibly longer. Getting rid of curbside recycling starting on July the 1st, raising the bus fares starting on July the 1st. They've already raised the sanitation rates, already raised the storm sewer rates, cut the out-of-city work tax credit in half to 50%. The question is, are the Democrats going to run anybody against him, and is he beatable next year?
I tell you what, it's really hard, and I hate to defend Bill because I ran against him, but... it's really hard if you're not in that position to know why all those things had to be done. And some of them, I'm sure he had no choice that he had to do. I really think we've gone too far, but I think that's kind of the Republican way of doing things, is to go, you know, cut the nose off to spite the face right now.
Well, no, and nobody's saying these are all Bill Collins's fault, but it's much like George H.W. Bush in 92. Read my lips, no new taxes. Then he raised taxes because the Democrats wanted that plan, and he felt in the end it was better for the country, but Bill Clinton certainly banged him over the head for it and defeated him in re-election because of it. So there's no doubt. Is Bill Collins responsible for all these things? Probably not.
No.
But could somebody use it against him to run against him? Absolutely.
Well, the question is, did he stand up against the things that you think were not necessary? Like, well, what was the first thing?
Well, no, they were part of his plan.
Oh, I thought he was given these some of these plans.
No, no, this was his plan to send to the state, this is how we're going to fix the financial situation in Marion. So this is Mayor Collins' idea.
Okay, but he didn't come into, I'm pretty sure he didn't walk in, he didn't run for office with all that plan all figured out.
No.
He just got into the office, which is something you don't know until you're there. He got into the office and started seeing things that needed to be corrected, and that this is the way he's decided to correct them.
But is he defeatable because of these things not popular with the public?
Of course he is. But I'm not going to run again.
No. But will the Democrats get somebody together? That was the discussion before the break with a caller. Was are they even trying to get somebody ready a year out?
I tell you, having run three times as a Democrat, I'm not convinced the Democrats in Marion are well enough organized to do that. We have several really good Democrats, but we also you have to be supported by the common person, and I don't think we've generated enough support.
Could an independent candidate win?
I always think independent candidates have a very weak chance of winning just because they're independent. But if there were a time that an independent might win, now might be the time.
Because you've got to figure there are Republicans who are probably not favorable of what Bill Collins is doing.
And not favorable what their president is doing.
Well, and will that matter?
I think it will.
Okay, even though national politics are not local politics, right. Does the national scene of the country matter?
I think that's a mistake. I think national politics do enter strongly, especially this national politics, enter strongly into local politics.
Have you ever heard anybody at a Democratic meeting or one of your Citizens for Democracy meetings say, I want to run for mayor?
Just me.
Well, it's interesting because I hear people knock Bill Collins all the time, but who's ever said I want to throw my hat in there?
I can't honestly say I know of anyone. Kent, who is running for, what's he running for?
State Rep, 86th
yes.
District.
Yes, State Rep. Kent could do that, and he's a good man, and I think, I hope to all get out that he wins that election because Kent is a smart man. Very supportive of the community. He's probably smarter than we deserve.
I think there's a good chance if he doesn't win this race against Ben Weber that he would run for mayor.
I would hope so, and I will encourage him to do that because I did encourage him when I found out he was thinking of running for office. I did kind of encourage him to run for mayor, but I could tell he wasn't interested in it at that time.
Well, it's going to be interesting as we go along. 740-383-9944. What do you think, Matt?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think that I'm rooting for Kent as far as the 86th district race goes, and you know, should he lose that, then I mean, he's got we've had people call in here before and ask like when he was on here when he was running as the write-in candidate, we had people say, "Oh, I wish he would have come on sooner. I would have voted for him." So, I mean, I think if he actually had the chance to run as a Democrat, he's got a good shot.
But Ben Weber is tough. I think people are really underestimating.
He runs a good campaign. Yes.
Yeah. I don't think people give him any credit for that. This man runs a campaign like nobody's business.
Yeah, he's got a lot of signs out.
Got a lot of signs, commercials. He knocks those doors. He got 52% of the vote in Marion in a three-way race.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And blew people who'd ran before right out of the water. Blew them back into obscurity.
Well, the lady that was running against Kent, I can't remember her name.
I didn't know there was a lady running against Kent.
Yeah.
Originally. Oh, shoot. Never mind.
But there was a lady in there.
Oh, yeah. She was my opponent. She was not very good, but people didn't know that.
Who? In the 86th district?
Yeah.
Tracy Richardson?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was pretty much a solid Republican. Republicans would vote for her, but I didn't think she was very bright.
Well, she's termed out.
Yeah, I know.
She's. Yeah. But the person he defeated in the primary was Wesleyan Davis.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And he also beat Stephen Wolf.
Yeah. And Wesleyan did worse this time than she did the last time she ran.
Ben Weber, I guess, is a pretty strong candidate.
Formidable candidate. Yeah. And I think Kent will have to realize that.
Oh, he better work hard.
Well, he got Jack Kellogg's endorsement and Tracy Richardson's endorsement.
That's pretty good.
So that's pretty good.
Get two Democrat or Republicans to root for a Democrat. And he is definitely a Democrat.
No, Ben Weber. Yeah,
no, I'm talking about
Kent. No, oh, Ben. Kent. Ben got okay. Tracy Richardson and...
Oh, well, then, as far as I'm concerned, those are not necessarily good things.
Well, I don't know.
The mayor is, he's well-respected.
Right. I mean, Tracy Richardson is termed out in that seat. I mean, she beat Wesleyan Davis last primary. I think Ben, at the very least, the Tracy Richardson endorsement helped with the primary. But I think the Jack Kellogg endorsement, at least in Marion, is
that's solid.
Yeah, that's substantial.
Solid thing there.
He's a good man.
What do you think? And turning 90 here pretty soon.
No, I'm not.
No, he is. Jack, see, we got to celebrate the birth. I feel like Willard Scott. I'm just celebrating people's birthday. A happy 80th birthday to Glenn Coble. Yeah, Jack Kellogg turns 90 here in the next couple months. In any event,
what difference does that make? By the way. That's what
I don't think I said it made a difference.
No. But people think, you know, I turned 80 and that's going to make a difference. It doesn't make any difference. That was yesterday or 3 days ago.
No, it's just a birthday with a zero on it.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, I don't know that it means any difference.
No, it doesn't. I'm still the same guy. I woke up that morning, by the way. It was last Tuesday, I think it was. Anyway, I woke up at about 11:50. No, I was going to sleep at about 11:59, and I said, oh, tomorrow I'm going to be 80. And I kind of drifted off, and I woke up at about 5 after 12. I'm 80 now.
80.
And then I realized it doesn't make any difference at all. I feel exactly the same.
And nothing ever gets any easier.
No.
No. It's all the same. You know, we've had an interesting conversation. Do you have the same friends you had years ago at 80?
I don't even know the people I knew.
know them anymore. They're gone.
It's kind of disappointing. As you grow older, you go through decades of friends, I think. I have a lot of friends. When I was in my 20s and 30s, I had tons of friends. I was kind of a gadfly. But I had lots of friends that I don't even remember their names now. Things change, and then I always kick myself and say, well, why don't you remember his name? He was your best friend. How could he be your best friend if you can't remember his name? Well, he was at the time.
But don't you think friends are a little touchy? That's why I refer to most people as acquaintances.
Oh.
That way they don't get too, you know, on the inside.
I like to refer to everybody as my friend.
Yeah, but then they think, I don't know, they get touchy. Certain people get touchy.
If you get touchy, you won't be around me very long.
Well, here's the thing. You know, Matt and I have had this discussion because I have an acquaintance, you know.
All right.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, you explain this to Glenn. That way it's not me telling the story of what happened.
Yeah, I never
the most recent one.
Yeah, who cares?
The most
yeah.
recent
yeah, the most recent one.
Okay, yeah. So, this person and Scott had, I guess, you know, not been talking a whole lot. And so Scott had said something at one point in time to which got no response.
How are you?
How are you? And no response. So then later on he sent another message that said something along the lines of, you know, I just want you to know that, I figured out, it's okay, you don't have to respond to this. I just wanted you to know that every time I see a mediocre person, I think of you.
That's kind of rude.
No, Glenn, it was comedy.
I thought it was funny. I liked it.
Well, it is funny, but it's rude.
But boy, they didn't find it funny, and they came back.
I wouldn't either.
Don't you what?
If you said that to
Glenn.
Oh, why? I mean, like, come on, is that really the worst thing that's ever been said to you? I mean, you really think he, like... Like,
you think I really meant that like I saw a mediocre person that day?
Every time I see somebody struggling with stuff, I'm like, you know, that reminds me. No. I don't think that's a logical thought process.
I try to be nice to everybody, and I hope everybody tries to be nice to me.
Well, that's the way I'm nice to people.
Yeah.
You know, is that
that's why we're close friends.
Yeah, that's right. You tweak them a little bit, but this person does not like to be tweaked, although they like to tweak other people. And I think
that's not fair.
That's right. That's right. If they can't...
if you're going to send shots, you got to be able to take them.
That's right. You got to be able to get the receipts. So I think I am not wrong in this situation. I think they're wrong.
I think you should always try to be nice to everybody.
I don't know. Generally speaking, if I don't know you and you're like a stranger, I'm going to be polite to you. I don't see a reason to go being rude to like random people. But like if you're my friends, like I poke a lot of fun at my friends because my friends, I mean, you know, in return, they'll poke a lot of fun at me. It's just, you know,
yeah,
it's just fun. I don't know what else.
I understand that.
So, I mean, I don't know.
That's all it was.
Yeah, I think that they probably just don't have a sense of humor about themselves.
I can't remember, though, treating any of my friends that way.
You never bullied your friends or vice versa? Or, you know, I don't know, bullied is
not the right word, but
picked on?
That way. My mother and father would have had my head had I treated anybody in any other manner than politely.
Well, I just think these are social things, and that's why I like to talk about them on the program, because I believe you take a real situation and you can dissect it socially, because people are having these problems in their own life, and now this person's got their nose all out of joint with me because of this.
Yeah.
Well, it's too bad for them.
Yeah, I mean, too bad for both of you.
Well, I'll live. But the point is that they got their nose all out of joint because of this, and every now I have had... I have tried to reach out a couple times and just say, how you doing? And now everything I say is sarcastic if I try to say, oh, I'm great. You know, because now I want to seem like I care. And they'll say, oh, my life's good. And I'll say, well, that's terrific. I'm happy that your life is good. And, oh, you're being sarcastic. So now there's a no-win situation.
Yeah, I'm not sure who set that up, but...
Wasn't me. But no, I think that you should not get your nose out of joint for these tired little things.
Especially if you're in the habit of doing it reciprocally.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
Reciprocally. Yeah, I'll take it.
Okay.
So you just got to learn to take it.
Yeah. Well, I mean... I don't think you necessarily have to learn to take it, but I think if you're big on dishing it out, then you got to learn to take it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and this person certainly likes to dish it out, but they don't want to take it.
Yes, they do.
But they do not like
to. They like to dish
it
out.
And I think they made a New Year. I think this is coupled with the fact that I think they made a New Year's resolution because they always didn't like that I was able to get under their skin, and I think they made a New Year's resolution that they were not going to react to anything that I said. Because I think they felt like they were controlled or something. Like I had the ability to, you know, get them to pop off.
It sounds like they didn't have control over themselves.
No, they don't have control over themselves. I clearly think that the person should probably, you know, have some kind of good therapy session would be okay for them.
Well, if you said something like that to me and I thought you were being mean... I'd think about it, but then I ignore it. And if I thought you were just teasing me, then I might tease you back.
Right. Well, I don't know. I figured if I was going to be mean to somebody, I would say something that, I mean, it would be mean. It wouldn't be, you know, every time I see a mediocre person, I would be rude. If I was going to be rude, I would probably just be rude. I would throw a shot.
Yeah, but the human mind will boggle you, what people will do, what people will go through.
Well, that's one nice thing about getting older. I don't give a rat's behind about what you say or think about me.
Right. Well, they say that, but they do.
Yeah, no. Everybody says that.
Yeah.
But once you hit 70, you start thinking it.
Well, see, now you just said a second ago, what does age mean? Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There's something there that age means.
Oh, yeah. And age, I really believe that you become a better person as you age because you learn what other people think of you doesn't mean anything.
And what kind of attitude is that from a friend anyway, to be cranky all the time?
That's not nice.
No, it's not nice at all. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you got any thoughts, feel free to give us a buzz. Well, Glenn, let's get your thoughts on the big popcorn festival controversy.
Okay, I don't know what it is.
Oh, it's big, it's big.
Tell me.
Well, Matt, you can explain this one.
So the popcorn festival had usually they have a country act as far as performers go, and
last year it was kind of bad.
Well, I didn't
watch it.
I didn't go last year. But
I don't think anybody knew what they had on.
Well,
last year.
You see, that's kind of the problem this year is that they listed off the people who were coming, and there's no country act, so people started going crazy that there was no country act, and also the lady who they have to basically fill in for the country act is like on record bashing like the country music industry. So people were very upset, and it all culminated in the president of the Fair Board coming, or not Fair Board,
Popcorn Festival.
Yeah, Popcorn Fest. The president of the Popcorn Festival, he had to come out, and he made a whole big video about how, you know, we tried to get other acts, but we couldn't get the schedules to line up, so this is what we got, and, you know, so on and so forth. And
well, I was on that board for 5 years, and I watched how difficult it was to get acts. Back then we were spending, I don't know, $35,000 or something like that for the two nights. And it was really tough at that price to get the acts. And then to try and force one of them to be a rocker and force the other one to be country, actually rock lost out because they couldn't find any rockers around here that wanted to play for as little amount. And now apparently they can't find anybody to pay.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't have all the details, but I don't know how much money they have or like when they started looking. I mean, like I can't imagine you like the Bratwurst Festival had Tracy Byrd last year. I can't imagine Tracy Byrd is asking for like $50,000.
Oh, I don't think he asked for $35,000.
Yeah, like it wouldn't surprise like you know.
I don't know who Tracy Byrd is.
He, like 90s yeah, country. 90s country. Oh. Like you know, like it wouldn't. I don't think it'd cost all that much to get somebody like Tracy Byrd. Or we had John Michael Montgomery a few years ago. I don't think it would cost all that much money.
Colin Ray was here a few years ago.
Like, you know.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so.
Well, that's what, when I was involved, the people that were booking him, the gentleman who was booking him, he was very good, and he still may be, I don't know. But they looked for up-and-comers or down-and-goers.
Right, and that's what you do.
Yeah. People that you could pick up for a song that used to be famous or you thought might be famous soon. Yeah.
I think Johnny Paycheck played the Popcorn Festival. Now, really? Johnny Paycheck only had one hit song.
Take this job and show.
Right. Only one song in the history.
And it was terrible.
It was terrible.
Oh, no, I love that song. Great song.
It was terrible. But we like those one-hit wonders, and when they get up there and sing that one hit, it goes crazy downtown.
Yeah,
we like that. So it's free.
I'd listen to you know, Take This Job.
Well, he's dead.
Yeah, but you know, I would have
definitely listened to that.
If you can get him back, it's gonna be he's in a whole different zip code. But the point is that I don't think you should respond to, if you are in the entertainment business and people are knocking you, you don't respond when they're critiquing your stuff. I think the president responding was wrong.
Also, I think the way that he like phrased it probably wasn't great either. I mean, it's not like you hyped up the other band. You were like, well, we did try to get other bands, but you know, we didn't have the schedule line. So this is what we got.
Well, I wouldn't want the job because it's kind of
you don't want to be mayor. You don't want to run the Popcorn Festival. What do you want to do?
Be a good person.
Okay.
Really, I would like to be the mayor of a city that wanted their mayor to be kind, thoughtful, empathetic.
Oh, we probably want that here.
No, you don't.
We don't? I don't live in the city. I don't vote for that.
But
we want our mayor to be.
You know the problem with being the mayor that I thought a lot about coming when I was running is you got to know a lot of stuff, and nobody knows the stuff until they get in. And
I don't know if I agree with that. I think if you've been on council for a number of years and you've worked with
things,
right, and I think that was the problem here. I've said that time and time and time again. The previous two mayors who had long lives of 16 years on as mayor, they were both long-term council people before they ever ran for mayor. They had worked with the mayor. They understood certain things about city government. I don't think Mayor Collins does.
Yeah, well, it would be tough. And if I had gotten the job, I would have had the same problems he's having. But if you're, I'm not going to say this right, I know. If you're smart enough, you know how to work around all that. You know how to make it work for you instead of against you. And I don't know whether Merrick Holland is having it work against him or for him right now.
So why don't we want a nice, sympathetic, kind mayor in Marion?
Well, look at our president. He got elected because he's he projects being a tough guy. He's not a tough guy. He's just a stupid guy. And we like people that project toughness because we want them to be tough to all the people that we don't like or all the people that we want to get even with. That's one of the things I've really found as I've gotten older. I don't want to get even with people. I just want people to be kind to each other. I want people to be concerned about each other.
I say we elect another Jimmy Carter.
I liked Jimmy Carter, and a lot of people thought I was a fool, but...
peaceful guy.
Well, he was, and a very religious guy, and as you know, I'm not. But I would like to have the Pope as our mayor. I love our new Pope, even though...
He's from Chicago.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
South Side, though.
Yeah, That's White Sox. Good. White Sox man. Yeah. No, but I don't... Now, would it be good to have a religious leader as the head of a city?
No. Well, head of a city, maybe. Head of a country, probably not.
Wait a minute. Just because you're a religious person doesn't mean you're going to force people to have your religion. If the Pope was the mayor of Marion and he wanted to run it as the city of Marion and not as the Church of Marion, I would love to have him because he's a very thoughtful man. It's just when you try to force your religion on me or anybody else in this community, then I find it disdainful.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Feel free to weigh in. Hey, I want to have this conversation before we Matt leaves. Matt is tell your feelings about the governor's race coming up this November.
So, I do not like Vivek Ramaswamy for multiple reasons. I think he's like a Trump show, and he's like Diet Donald Trump, you know. Also, he's a billionaire. Billionaires don't look out for the little people. Otherwise, they wouldn't be billionaires.
Don't get me started on being.
But Amy Acton has also not done a good job of courting my vote. I would not vote for, there's no chance I vote for Vivek Ramaswamy. There is a chance I would vote for Amy Acton, but she has certainly not done well as far as courting my vote goes.
So who would you vote for?
I'm not opposed to abstaining from a vote. I could now, like, as a matter of fact, I think that if I liked nobody on a ballot, I wouldn't just be like, oh, well, you know, Democrat or, you know.
Lesser of two evils?
Yeah, I would just get up there, and I'd go next, submit, print, and then I'd print out a blank ballot. I think if like 94% of the people voted, and half of,
nothing to say about
and half of those ballots were blank, maybe they would put up better candidates, because obviously 94% of the country would vote.
See, this is silliness, because this is total silliness.
But I would just not vote.
So make the point.
Okay, go ahead.
This is silliness to me, because we act as if people are equally bad, and that you have to get exactly what you want to vote for somebody. There are going to be very few times in life where the person believes everything that you believe. That's not going to happen. So you have to decide... Because one of these people is going to get the job, who is closer to what I believe than the other person? Because essentially at that point, you're saying, I want this person more than that person. I'm not exactly this person's biggest fan, but one of you is going to get the job. The job's not going to go vacant.
After the primaries, I listened to a handful or so of Amy Acton speeches that I could find on YouTube. And every one of her speeches is the same speech, and I could pretty much give the speech. Now, I don't have it like in the exact order, but she's going to start with the fact that she grew up poor and that the public schools and the library saved her life, and that she wants to fully fund the schools, and she wants Ohio to be number one. She says Vivek treats Ohio like a flyover state. Like, it's the same speech everywhere she goes, and she doesn't say anything in the speech.
But one of these two people is going to be governor.
Well, that's fine. I'm not going to vote for him if I like.
So what does that give you? You turn around and say, "Well, I didn't vote for him."
Yeah.
Okay.
You have
big
no
deal.
No voice. Then.
No voice.
Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. Just shut up. We don't want to hear what you have to say if you don't like what they're doing.
And
I voted. Showed up to vote. I just didn't pick either of those two.
I would always.
I'll vote for Don Kissick.
Again, you don't know what he stands for. That's my point. I don't understand. That's my problem with third-party candidates. My problem is not that they're not going to win. My problem is you're saying, I don't like Vivek. I don't like Amy Acton. That's why I'm not voting for them. So I'm going to vote for a guy I don't know anything about. Well big deal. You don't know anything what he's going to do either.
Could vote for him.
My age has made me concerned with kindness. And I know that sounds real wimpy. But if you gave me a choice of a person who had policies that I disagreed with down the board and another person who was just a rotten jackass, I would vote for the nice person that I disagreed with than the jerk that would...
And I can't even say that I disagree with Amy Acton. Again, I've heard her give like 5 or 6 speeches, but she doesn't say anything. Like, yes.
They're not going to be. I don't know who.
I would assume.
Who do you think's the perfect candidate?
Yes, I would assume that you want Ohio to be the number one state. Okay. Otherwise, I would assume so. Yes, I'm sure you want the Ohio school system to be the best school system and all. You know, yeah, you live here. It makes sense. You know, your family's here.
Yeah, but my question is,
I get it. But like, how? I want what you're going to do. How are you going to do it? How
right,
are you going to fund those things?
Who's told you that?
Bernie Sanders. AOC tells us.
No, I'm talking about in Ohio.
You don't live in Ohio.
Right. Who running Ohio this time around has told you anything like that?
Nobody. And that's...
Right. Because they're not going to.
Are you talking for governor?
No. Anybody... Okay. You have to... Let's go down the list here. Who are you going to vote for treasurer?
Treasurer is going to be Blackwell.
Blackwell?
She's running for treasurer.
No, she's not. It's Walsh and Edwards.
Oh, I might just not. Maybe Walsh.
Okay, but what has he told you that you like?
Nothing. That's maybe why I won't vote for him.
But again...
As a matter of fact, when he was in here, he just said that he wanted to use the money to help the people, to help the people of Ohio. You know, if you wanted to use the money to help the people of Ohio and you had an idea of how you wanted to do so, maybe you would tell me how you want to use the money to help the people of Ohio?
So basically, you're not into hearing what the candidates say. You're into disagreeing with what the candidates say.
No, they don't say anything.
They just disagreed with that.
They don't say anything.
What do you want them to say?
I want them to tell me how and what they're going to do. I don't care that you want Ohio schools to be number one. Yes, I also want Ohio schools to be number one, but how are you going to make them number one? Yes, I assume you want Ohio to be the number one state, but how are you going to make that happen?
I don't think you've ever run for office.
Right. No, I haven't.
All right, well, the difference is if you've run for office, you realize most of the people that are out there talking don't know what the heck they're talking about.
Well, you also don't know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
You haven't had the job. You can't make promises like, well, this is how I'm going to make schools better. I'm going to take the money from here, and I'm going to do this. Well, first of all, you know your taxes are going up, whoever's getting in there. What are you going to do? Run on, I'm going to raise your taxes? Yeah, you'll get in real quick. I'll tell you where you'll be. Not governor.
No, they all talk about
what we're going to lower your taxes.
What people want to
right.
hear.
Right, so you're running a fool's race. Amy Acton is basically, you know what she's saying? I'm going to raise your taxes to do these things. And if she said that, she would lose. Simple as that.
Even if she's telling the truth.
Even if she's telling the truth. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, what do you want them to tell you, Matt, that on day one she'll have gas prices under $2 a gallon?
Yeah, you just want to, you want the Trump approach? I'll tell you what you want to hear.
Within a month or something like
no,
that?
No, I don't want her to tell me what I want to hear. I want her to say what she's going to do. There's a difference.
Right, but doing
well,
that...
there's things that she can say she's going to try to do, but anytime you get in a position like that...
I'm going to try to make Ohio the number one state. How? Doing what? How are you going to fund those things?
Read my lips, no new taxes.
Right.
But once you get in there, you see sometimes you can't make a bunch of promises because you really don't.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Right now, what you're going to be able to do.
And I'm sure that Amy Acton does want to do all these things, but she's got to look at a budget.
Yeah.
She's also got to look at what the legislature, which is probably going to be primarily Republican, is going to allow her to do.
But do you think that Vivek Ramaswamy... Do you think that Vivek Ramaswamy doesn't want Ohio doesn't want to take the governorship and make Ohio the number one state?
No, he does.
Do you think Vivek Ramaswamy doesn't want to take the governorship and make Ohio schools the number one school system? I'm sure he does.
Well,
I'm sure it's beneficial to him. I'm sure he wants to run for president. He already did. He lost.
But no, but his approach is different. What does Vivek Ramaswamy say? I want to get rid of income tax. Well, you've also got a group out here saying we want to get rid of property tax on the ballot. Now, if you get rid of property tax and you get rid of income tax, yeah, that sounds real good. Hey, you're not going to pay income tax or property tax. How are you going to get anything done?
You know?
Well, I'm not in
tax. We don't need that.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay.
Sounds good, though, doesn't it?
If you want how I would run...
I'm not asking you that. You just said Vivek Ramaswamy wants to run for president. He wants the schools to be better. He wants Ohio to be number one. Well, if you've got no income tax and you've got no property tax coming in, how are you going to do that?
Sales tax.
But is he going to say that? Is Vivek going to say your sales tax is going to be 30%?
I mean, I think it's a pretty common assumption. If
no, not an assumption.
If you get rid of income tax...
No.
If you get rid of land taxes or property taxes...
No. You just said you can't assume because I just told you Amy Acton's going to raise your taxes to make the schools better. No, you want to hear that from her. You can't assume that's what he's going to do.
Obviously, she's going to raise taxes. I want to know what she's going to...
You actually going to be able to do it.
Obviously...
I'd rather say I'd like to look at the tax situation and see what we can do rather than them telling me, okay, sales, we're going to get rid of sales tax.
Right. Do you think that Vivek Ramaswamy is ever going to say that if we do get rid of income tax, if we do get rid of property tax, that your sales tax is going to be 40%?
Obviously.
No, he's not going to say that.
Obviously, Amy Acton's going to have to raise taxes.
But guess who did say that, by the way? Mike DeWine.
I want to know what Amy Acton's going to do with the tax dollars to fund the schools. Because there's already I don't know what Ohio does as far as their... But the United States has spent so much money on education, and the education just keeps going down. Obviously, spending money is not the problem. Money doesn't fix the problem. Money is a tool. If you don't use the money right, nothing gets done.
What did he say?
I don't know. It's like the view. I can't hear a darn thing. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, we could tear down half the governor's mansion down there in Columbus. We could do that. We could hold a nice boxing or wrestling event down there.
Ooh, that'd be good.
There you go.
It needs a big ballroom, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We can do all that.
We have a lot of smart things to do.
All I'm saying is no candidate's going to tell you how the surgery is done. They're just going to tell you what they're going to fix.
Yeah.
They're just telling you what their priorities are, and a lot of times you can't even get those done until you get in there.
Or something you want to hear.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, there you are. How could any governor tell you how they're going to pay for anything right now when we might have a referendum on the ballot before they ever become governor that would eliminate property tax? So how could she come in and say, well, I'm going to make the schools better by taking your property tax and going this way when there might not be any property tax when she gets there?
It's not about the tax.
They're not privy to a lot of things.
I want to know.
You can all talk at the same time. Okay, go ahead.
I want to know how she's going to spend the tax dollars.
She doesn't know till she gets there.
And she doesn't know what tax money's going to be there.
Yeah. She's not privy to everything that's going on.
She doesn't have an idea of what she's going to... Oh, well, this needs more funding.
Do you think we're going to have property taxes?
If they put it on the ballot, probably not. People don't like tax dollars.
You think it's going to make the ballot?
It might. I don't know.
Oh, so she's supposed to make promises based on a might and a maybe?
Definitely don't add sales tax because sales
tax... We've already had one of those make a lot of promises. We don't need another one.
We got another hour. Thanks, Matt. You got to go, right?
Yep.
All right, Matt's going away. He's going to have to go chill out now because he's wound so tight now. Glenn's staying, though. We got two more hours. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Glenn Coble after. I know. Stay tuned.
This is an important point. Fall in love. What is Dr. Ruth's definition of love?
I don't have a real definition. Everybody has to work out their own. But I would say a part of it would be that you are glad when that person walks to the room where you are. That you have a kind of a fluttering in your heart that person that you really like and appreciate and want to work a relationship with is walking into that room. So it's like a little spark.
Our president, you have met. You've met Donald Trump.
Not only that, there was a very short time a commercial where I greeted him because he was the marshal.